Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Good morning. I wanted to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you do and the sacrifices that you have made and continue to make for your children. We're blessed to have you in our lives. And although our passage for this morning isn't a specific passage for mothers, there will still be some points that I'll apply our passage to you. So please turn your Bibles to John 16 this morning, and we're going to be in verses 25 through 33. We continue our series in the Gospel of John as Jesus finishes out his farewell discourse. He has been talking about some foundational aspects of the Christian life in this section, and today is no different. Last week, the Christian's joy was talked about, and this week, it's our peace, among other things. Let's read our passage. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Dean Borman talks about the history of Winchester Mansion. Thousands of people each year visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. This massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. For 38 years, the house was under constant construction. Various stories have been told about the reason for this unusual practice. Most center on Mrs. Winchester's belief that she either was haunted or would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building her house. Others claim that she thought she would not die as long as construction continued. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovations and construction as long as she lived. There are more than 10,000 windows in the mansion, doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls, and some 160 rooms in total. It's estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money on largely pointless construction, all in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. You know, many people today are seeking peace through equally fruitless means. They turn to pleasure, drugs, alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead-end avenues. And like the staircases that lead nowhere in the Winchester Mansion, pursuing such paths will never bring peace. So where do you find peace? As we study this morning's passage, Jesus shows us how his work brings us not only peace, but also some other crucial benefits. And so what we find today is what Christ's work has brought us. The work of Christ involves his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and through this work, Jesus has secured for us numerous blessings and benefits. And this passage highlights three specific ones. First, we receive clear teaching from Jesus. Clear teaching from Jesus. There in verse 25, Christ tells the disciples that he has been speaking to them in figures of speech. This means that Jesus has been speaking to them in a sort of cryptic or enigmatic way. He did this most likely because his disciples could not understand or accept the truths he was giving at that time. Remember, he talks about earlier, I have many other things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. And he says the hour is coming when he wouldn't do this anymore, but he would speak plainly to them about the Father. This is most definitely talking about what would happen after Christ's resurrection, as well as the time of the Spirit coming upon the disciples. If you remember, after the resurrection, on the road to Emmaus, he interpreted in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then when the Spirit came, the Spirit continued the teaching of Jesus to the disciples. We learned that truth a couple weeks ago, where Jesus said that the Spirit would continue his teaching by guiding them into truth. So it was after Christ's work that his teaching became clear and plain to them so that they could understand everything. Just look at the disciples' difference in the disciples' understanding in the time of Christ's ministry and then the time after his ascension. This is why after his ascension and the Spirit comes upon them and his disciples all of a sudden have this confidence and understanding and they're preaching and teaching the people. And that vividly points to the truth of this verse. The disciples and us now receive clear teaching from Jesus because of his gracious and redemptive work. It was only after his work that his teaching became plain to them. And as you think about life today, how do we receive this clear and plain teaching? Well, first, we, of course, have the Bible. The Spirit led the disciples into truth as they were reminded and taught about Christ, and then they wrote the Scriptures. They were led along by the Spirit as they wrote so that every word was God-breathed. Think about this. How could we learn and grow if the disciples never understood Christ's teaching? We also have the Spirit who illuminates the Scriptures for us as we read. This helps us to understand and accept the Word of God. What good would it be if not one of us understood the Scriptures? If not one of us understood any parts of the Bible? Have you ever read instructions to build something and the instructions did not make sense? Recently, Kate and I had to put together rocking chairs. Well, the person who wrote those instructions must not have known English well, because those instructions were very hard to understand. I had to read over the instructions a couple times and try to translate what they actually meant to say before I could proceed. Those instructions teaching us to assemble the chairs were unclear. They were not plain. But thankfully, we don't have to be in that position, for Christ has given us clear teaching. We can know God more because Christ has promised plain teaching about the Father. We don't have to live in the dark, and we don't have to live in constant confusion, but we can know God more, and we can know what He desires from us more. He has given us the means to understand His Word through the Scriptures and through the Spirit. But do you use those means? Are you constantly in the Word of God, or is it something kind of down at the bottom of your priority list? Do you depend on the Spirit to help you understand His Word, or do you depend solely on your own efforts? Think about Mother's Day. Mothers, what about you? Are you constantly in the Word of God, dependent on the Spirit? In your busyness, a Scripture can easily take a back seat to all the other tasks that you have to do. But use even those few minutes that you have here and there to mull over a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture. Maybe you can listen to the Word of God on your phone or other format as you do the dishes or laundry or go to work. Christ's work has opened up the way for us to hear and understand His teaching, but let's take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. So we have a clear teaching, but also confident access to the Father. There in verses 26 through 28, Jesus again reiterates the fact that the disciples will be able to ask God the Father for things in His name, in Jesus' name. If you remember last week, Jesus brought this up. Now He explains this truth even further. They will ask the Father in Jesus' name, but that doesn't mean that Christ will ask the Father on our behalf. What He means is that in His name doesn't mean we're still distanced from God. It doesn't mean that we have to ask Jesus something, who then takes that request to the Father. Instead, we have direct access to the Father, not distance. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you really want to speak with the person in charge of the company, but no one will let you? You know those times where you ask to speak to the boss, but the workers are constantly saying, "You can't do that, but you can speak to me." Or maybe they say, "He or she is unavailable." And that sort of situation can make you frustrated, as you just want to speak directly to the person at the top and in charge. But amazingly, that is not how it works with the Creator of the universe, God. Out of everyone in the world, you would think that speaking directly to the Creator would be forever off limits. Like you would never once be able to talk to Him directly. But hear what Jesus is saying. When we pray, we are personally and directly asking God the Father for things. Think about it. We are speaking directly to God. Do you really think about that when you are praying? Do you take advantage of this opportunity to go to Him in prayer? But how is this even possible? He says, because you are loved by the Father. You see, the Father doesn't need Jesus to keep saying, "You know, please just listen to this, the request of this person. Please." No, the Father wants to listen, and He wants to answer a request because He loves us. And why does He love us? Because we love and believe in Christ. That is, we are followers of Jesus. We are in Christ. Therefore, the Father loves us with a special love that He has for His children. We are only able to go directly to the Father who loves us and wants to hear our requests because of Christ's work on the cross. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor who has given us the access to draw near to the throne of grace. All of this is to say, believer in Jesus Christ, you have direct access to your Heavenly Father in prayer who loves you and listens. He isn't begrudgingly listening. He isn't distant, distracted by other things. He isn't distant. You don't have to talk only to His underlings and not Him. You don't have to jump through hundreds of hoops or a bunch of red tape to get a meeting with Him. But you can go to God the Father at any time and know that He loves you and wants to hear from you. And all of this is made possible by our Savior Jesus as we pray in His name. This Jesus, who we love and who we believe in, came from the Father to the world and then went from the world back to the Father. Isn't that just a very short and succinct version of the mission of Christ? Left heaven, came to earth, did His work, went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. That's the Savior that we love and believe in. And He is truly the Son of God who has opened up the way for us to have confident access to the Father. So what that means is our knees do not have to shake as we come in prayer to God. We do not have to go through a priest. We can go confidently to the Father in prayer because of Jesus' gracious work on the cross. Our confidence isn't in ourselves, but our confidence is in Christ as we pray in His name. So do you boldly approach the throne of grace regularly? Way too often we take this privilege for granted. But if we really remembered that we're talking directly to our loving Father, it would change how often we pray. Moms, when you're overwhelmed by life, do you realize that you have a loving Heavenly Father who is ready to listen to your concerns and requests? You can go directly and instantly to Him. We have confident access to the Father. And thirdly, consoling peace in Jesus. Now before I get to the peace, I want you to look at verses 29 through 32. The disciples respond to Jesus' promise of plain speech by rejoicing that He's no longer speaking figuratively. They say, "Now we know that you know all things, and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." And interestingly, they have overlooked the fact that Jesus just said the hour was coming when he wouldn't use figurative language. But they think the time is now. And they claim that to believe that He came from God. So once again, they didn't fully understand everything that Jesus had just said. And what Jesus does is He actually pushes them to see the lack of depth in their current faith by predicting how they will scatter, leave Him, and each go to their own home. Yet God the Father wouldn't leave Him, but faithfully remain with Him. So think about how accurate Christ was here. Hours after the disciples made this declaration, they deserted Jesus as He was going to the cross. And as you think about this interaction between the disciples and Jesus, it reminds us of something. It reminds us of how our knowledge and faith is often overconfident and weak. We're like the disciples where we can easily become overconfident in our knowledge and our faith, not realizing that our knowledge and faith is sometimes weak. Like the disciples, we say one thing, but when the pressure is on, we don't act according to what we said before. We don't act according to what we said we believe. That's because testing and pressure reveal the state of your faith. Testing and pressure reveal the state of your faith. So when you go through a pandemic, how's your faith? When troubles arise, what are your thoughts? When uncertainty looms, where's your focus? This is why we need humility when it comes to our faith. Often our pride magnifies our faith and distorts the true image of our faith and knowledge. But God knows our hearts better than we do. So we humbly come to Him and we say like the man in Mark 9, "I believe, help my unbelief." What we need to do is to depend on Him more and more and less on ourselves. But although the disciples were overconfident in their knowledge and weak in their faith, God still loved them. As Jesus told them earlier, the Father Himself loves you. And these disciples who would scatter would be the same ones who would be used mightily in the early church. Because though their faith was weak, and it would show when Jesus was arrested, they still truly believed in Jesus. Their failure didn't mean it was over for them. And your past failures and weak faith doesn't mean it has to be over for you. God can still use you in great ways. He can restore the struggling Christian who falls. And thankfully, Jesus doesn't leave the conversation on that disheartening note. But he ends with encouragement and comfort. He ends this farewell discourse by talking about the peace they can receive through him and the victory secured by him. So is there anything better than having peace? I mean, no one likes to have this constant inner turmoil and distress or worry, or no one likes to have inner trouble or disturbance. And generously, Jesus said these things so that they may have peace in him. Everything that he has spoken about in this discourse has been for the purpose of giving them peace. He has tried to comfort them and give them peace by letting them know the benefits of being in him, the vine. He has endeavored to give them peace by letting them know the Spirit's coming work in their lives. The list could go on of everything that he talked about in this discourse. But most importantly, he shows us that he is the source of true peace, and it can't be found anywhere else. He says, "And in me is peace." He says that there in verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace." The world attempts to give you peace, but it's not true peace. People search for peace in all types of places, but it ends up being a fruitless search that leaves them empty-handed. And it's because they're looking in all the wrong spots. But being connected to Jesus provides us with this ever-flowing conduit of peace in our lives. Yet what exactly is this peace here that Jesus promises? This is undoubtedly inner peace. This is inner rest and harmony, inner tranquility and calm. Think about the difference between kind of like a calm lake and an ocean of raging waves. That's the difference between having inner peace or not. Instead of having turmoil and distress and worry in your life, you can have rest, tranquility, and calm. But here's the important thing that Jesus points out. In this world, you will have tribulation. So this peace isn't peace because there are zero troubles in your life, but it is peace in the troubles. If anyone promises you that the Christian life will take away all your troubles, they are dead wrong. Jesus told us that we will face tribulation, troubles, trials, and he doesn't cover up the truth. He's open and honest about what we will face. Aren't you glad that you have a Lord like that who doesn't hide reality from you, but prepares you for what is to come? So Christian, in this world you will face hardships. Now, if Jesus stopped there, that wouldn't be very comforting, would it? Kind of like, you guys are going to face tribulation. Okay, good luck, I'm leaving now. That would be awful. That wouldn't give a person one smidgen of peace. But Jesus doesn't stop there, for he says, but take heart. This word can also mean take courage, be of good cheer. Though the prospect of facing continual trouble with the world may discourage you, it may make you afraid, or may make you lose hope, don't let it, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Our confidence and our courage doesn't come from anything found in the world. Our confidence and courage doesn't come from looking within, but is found in Christ's victory. And a common idea currently in our culture is to try to find courage and confidence in yourself because they say, you are enough, you are strong. But that is alien to the Bible. Rather, Jesus says, find courage, find confidence in me. Our courage to face trouble in this world and our peace comes from Christ's victorious work. We can have peace when we look beyond the tribulation to the victory secured by Jesus. It was through his death and resurrection that he conquered the world. The battle has ultimately already been won. Sin and death do not have power over us, and righteousness and life have taken their place. The world does continue its opposition, but their efforts are pointless because they have already lost. Our sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to our account. Our eternal life is secure. We have an inheritance waiting for us where no thief can steal it. We have peace with God, and he will one day destroy every speck of rebellion. The suffering and evil that you face in this world will not ultimately prevail, but they have already lost. Hear this. The trouble you face in this world doesn't mean defeat. But in the midst of the storm, we can have peace because the victory has been won. The troubles of this life afflict us, but in the middle of them, we look beyond them with eyes of faith to see that they have already been overcome by our Savior. Berit Kjos wrote this story in one of her books. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Do you have this inner peace even in the hardest of times? The person with this kind of peace certainly feels the weight of suffering. Yet in the suffering, they say, the victory is won. My soul is secure. My joy can't be taken away. Though all may not be right in the world right now, all is right in my soul because Jesus has done what only he could do, and all will be made right in the end. So downtrodden Christian, take courage. Discouraged follower of Christ, be of good cheer. Burdened believer, take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. Moms out there, take heart. The hardships you face will not have the final word in your life. So be at peace because of Christ's finished work. You see, clarity, confidence, and calm come from Christ's victorious work. We have clarity as we possess the plain teaching of God's Word, which the Spirit helps us to grasp and accept. We have confidence to boldly approach the throne of God the Father directly in prayer, and we can have calm and peace in our soul. It is only because of Jesus Christ that we receive these things, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave victorious over sin and death. So I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked the disciples. Do you now believe? Have you repented of your sins and believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for you? If not, do that today. It is so very vital. And for those who believe in Jesus Christ, may you dwell even more on the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. May you cherish the benefits and blessings that He has secured for you. Because even in the hardest of times, we have His precious word to cling to and to learn from. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, we can go directly to our loving Father who's ready to hear the requests of His beloved children. And even in the troubles of this world, we can have peace and we can take heart, for our Savior has overcome the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to You because of Jesus, and come to You in prayer right now because of Jesus. You have given us Your Word that we can understand and learn from and grow and be changed by. And You can have given us calm and peace in our soul that only comes from Jesus. So may we rest in the victorious work of Christ. May, even though we go through tribulation and trouble, may we have that peace and may we take heart because Christ has overcome the world. The victory is secured. The victory has been won. And so please help us keep our eyes on that truth as we live and go through this week. In Christ's name, amen.